This is for all the girls who grew up without strong geek role models to help them discover their geek dreams.
For everyone who's ever been quizzed about their video game knowledge because girls don't play games.
Geek Hearing is working to bring female identifying geeks into their prime to be the role models, dreams, and voices.
About to show these boys how we do it.
Higher, further, faster, baby.
It's not about deserve.
I'm not an owl!
A girl has no name. There is something supernatural at work here.
It's about what you believe.
Did I step on your mom?
Wingardium Leviosa.
Now on, you do as I do.
You may the odds be ever in your favor.
Are you ready for this?
Are you ready for this?
Welcome to Geek Hearing, a critical geek culture podcast where we talk the good and the bad parts of being a chick in a male-dominated environment. Hi, my name is Monica, and with me today is my lovely, amazing, glorious, with, I mean, supposedly blue hair, but not actually blue hair, but a really nice makeup co-host, Amanda. Welcome. Hi, Amanda.
Welcome. Hi, not blue hair, Amanda. Thanks, Monica. How are you?
I'm very well, and I thought I just needed to say this because people in chat and on Twitch will probably not notice that you actually are supposed to have blue hair, because it's like so not blue, like it's not even funny anymore, not blue.
I know. I dyed my hair blue today. Can you tell?
not at all.
Not at all.
There is not the slightest change in your actual hair color. It's pretty hilarious, actually.
This part of my scalp is blue, and that's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Where the hair parts, there is a bit of a blue shimmer, but like that's only when you know that something has been going on, you will be able to tell that, because otherwise I wouldn't pay enough attention to be like, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
That's it. That's what it looks like. Go for it, whatever.
I don't know. Maybe the blue hair dye for brunettes works on other brunettes, but it did not work on me.
We will see. I ordered green hair dye from the same company. I have way thinner hair than you have. So we will see. Maybe I'm green in the next couple of days. So, and then maybe it's because I know you said that you have like, you need a lot of dye actually. So we will see.
Yeah, I used like half the bottle and my hair was really saturated with it. But yeah, nothing.
Why did you use half the bottle? Does it like say anything about this?
No. It just, I don't know.
Felt I used... like it was a lot already.
Yeah. Like it didn't
Did you buy
it.
One or did you buy two?
Just one.
I'm not sure if I bought two in my motivation or whatever.
Like, yeah.
No, I was like, because I remember you saying that you need a lot of dye. And I was like, well, it's a specific hair color for unbleached hair. It probably will need more than that. Maybe I ordered two. At least that was my thought process for 2 seconds.
Mm.
There are a few hair colors where it's not necessary to have it like that. Like, at least not to that degree. And there is at least some kind of color in it. But not that one, apparently.
Not this one. Yep. It's like, yeah, okay. Blue dye for brunettes didn't really work out. That's fine. I'll just get my normal purple dye that actually does work. So fine.
Yeah, sure. But we're not here today to talk about everything hair dye, though. That's always exciting.
We could be,
but that's not the case today.
No. Today we're talking about Wanda.
Vision.
Wanda.
Vision. I
just
tried.
Just want to see if the second time went, you're a little bit quicker or anything, but not really.
I wasn't that slow. Yeah, we're talking about WandaVision because the last episode aired of this season, last episode aired on Friday. Is it Friday? I always watch it on Saturday, but I think it comes out on Friday. Yeah. So we're done with season one of phase, what is it, four?
Yes.
Five? I think it's phase four, because I recall me adding it to the season five, phase five already, and you were like once, no, it's not. It's season four we're in right
Monica,
now.
You're wrong.
I'm wrong.
You're wrong. Yeah, and we're going to give you a spoiler warning right now. We're talking about WandaVision. Yes. There's going to be spoilers pretty much right from the beginning, because we basically will not be able to review this without spoilers. We tried. There's a clip of it on Twitch. You can go and look for it. Yeah, so spoiler warning from here on out.
So WandaVision was the long awaited like first series after Endgame that came out from Marvel again, and boy, was the excitement like high, and the expectations were even higher. And we didn't really know what we were about to expect. And maybe you want to tell me how you first experienced it in the first couple of episodes or whatever.
So we were still in Canada with my mum and dad when the first episodes came out, and I was like, "Mum, Dad, we're gonna watch this together," and they were like, "Okay." And like, being the whole 1950s style I Dream a Genie, Bewitched kind of like throwback, my mom was like, "This show's amazing," and I was like, "This show's weird," but like, she was super, super into it. I don't know if they continued watching after we left. I feel like she would be disappointed in how it went, but mm-hmm. I loved it. Yeah, the first few episodes with like 1950s, not really sure what was going on, was weird, but I didn't not like it. I was just kind of like, is this it? There's got to be more. There's got to be more.
Mm. I had a totally different experience. Oh God, my experience was so different. And I mean, we all knew that there were, like, because we saw trailers and everything, so we knew that there was some sort of, but we didn't know what was going on at the time, right? But when we saw the trailers, we knew that there was like this flashback situation of having like this 50s, 60s, 70s show situation going on. But we had no context. And so started to watch the first couple of episodes, exactly Dick Van Dyke style things he says in chat. So I watched the first episode and I was like, this is... And then a few things added on to each other. Not only did I find the episode super weird, the issue for me, like, immediately, I think we had like two episodes in the beginning released at the same time. So we had the first episode, which was this 50s vibe situation, and the second episode was kind of this 70s vibe situation. They started out with this super long intro, like unusually long for today's standards, really. So you had all this, because it was like, it leaned onto this old series, which the intros obviously were also super long in comparison to now. We just skip them and don't give a shit about them. But true, that was like a huge part of the series, right? And then it was like a 20-minute episode, 25-minute episode, the first one. And then you had like what felt like 10 minutes worth of credits. I was already super annoyed because my initial tendency is to binge a lot of stuff. So that kind of irked me, like that rubbed me the wrong way, that I only had two episodes that I could watch. I found both of them super weird. And like almost 50% of the episode is credits. Mm-hmm. And I basically only have like 40 minutes worth of actual content that I don't even necessarily super much enjoy and find particularly weird, right? So I was aware that this wasn't something that was going, like, this wasn't going to last until the end of the show. Like, this was not what the show was supposed to be. And they gave you hints throughout the first two that there was something going on, but you didn't know. And I'm not that stupid to not be aware that, of course, there must be something going on, right? But I was so annoyed by both of the facts that it was so short in content, the first two. Then there are so many credits. Then I found that super weird. So the fact that I had to, and I couldn't binge all of it at the same time. So that meant for me that I had to make a deliberate decision the week after to watch something where I didn't really enjoy the first two episodes. And then to maybe be disappointed again in it because I found it that was too over the top for me, like so over the top, the first few parts, and I didn't enjoy it. I was seriously questioning all their acting skills because what the fuck is going on? Like, I know that this is an homage to the old series, but is that in that way really necessary? And I had to do this twice, right? Because we had the first two episodes that started out with these flashbacks. Then we had the third episode, and that was kind of the weirdest one for me because that's when Wanda had the twins, right?
Yeah, and that episode like, did not do it for me. Oh God, did it ever not do it for me?
I know, right?
Almost lost this me was... there, to be honest.
Yeah, because the way they did it, and then I constantly thought about people who have issues with getting pregnant and everything, and it was just so awkward, and it would have been super triggering for me if I would have watched it. And then we have the shared friend who about then, and I contacted them, and I was like, Do you still watch this? Because if you do, you might not want to watch this episode because it's just so fucking weird. Mm-hmm. And then it was literally the last chance that I gave them was episode 4. And if it wouldn't have caught me then, I would have probably stopped watching it. I really only continued to watch it because I was thinking, this is Marvel and I really like usually what they're doing, and maybe this is going like all the wrong ways. And I am so glad that I still watched episode 4 because that definitely pulled me back in immediately. Like, it was in 2 seconds and I was like, okay, good. You got me there. I'm here. Yeah. It's all great. So it was a ride. Like, honestly, for me, it was a ride, and I almost stopped watching the series because of the first 3 episodes that were too much for me. Like, I know that was all that kind of a stunt that they were pulling, and that was all super intentional, but it felt to me that it was too overdone, like too much over the top. And I know that these series are like that, but even the 70s show isn't like that, right? Like, when you watch Ashton Kutcher back now in this old series and Mila Kunis and all of them, and you're like, yeah, it's over the top, but it's still watchable. But that, for me, it felt like, oh, it was so hard to bear. It was so hard to continue to stay with it. But yeah, then cue episode 4.
Yeah, I think like the difference for me is probably that like I watched a lot of those shows, like Bewitched and I Dream a Genie. Like, I obviously not when they were out, and not that old, but like I watched a lot of it. Was on Nick at Night, Nickelodeon at nighttime, and it was just like old reruns, and I watched a lot of it, so it really did appeal to me. But yeah, episode 3 with that, the pregnancy and the giving birth and how awful and traumatic it was, I was like, I can't do this. Like, this is too much. This is way too much. Like,
yeah,
definitely no. But what it was the end of episode 3. It was the end of the pregnancy one that there, like, we kind of got a glimpse into something else, right? Like, in the outside world.
I think
just
so.
Like, at the very end, they like panned out and showed that they were watching it on this TV. Is that right?
Yeah.
And so I was
sounds familiar for sure.
And like, so that kind of pulled me in after an episode that I was like, I don't think I'm gonna watch this.
Oh, no, it's episode 3, because I have the list here. Wanda notices, because you have Cheryl Dean, Wanda gets to know all the people. So Wanda and Vision basically are in this town that's called Westview, and they live this serious life, basically. And you also see that they connect to people, and she connects to that person who is called Cheryl Dean. She's a black woman, and she's like befriending her in a way. And at the end of season 3, Wanda kind of figures out that Cheryl Dean might not, like, there is something wrong for her with Cheryl Dean. We obviously at that time don't know yet what it is. But Cheryl Dean knows things from Wanda's past, basically. I think she mentions Ultron. And then Wanda basically kind of gets rid of her. Like, when Vision comes back, Cheryl Dean is gone. And we then see Geraldine basically outside of some bubble situation, and people are surrounding her. So that's when we know, oh, there is something more going on. That's what happened in episode 3. That's what it
was. But yeah, it was like, by the end of that episode, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, that whole episode was losing me. I was like, I don't think so. But yeah, I'm glad that I stuck through that shit episode. I don't want to say it was shit. It was just unappealing.
Yeah. Yeah, for me, it was also super unappealing. And again, because I already was so in pain from the first 2. And I watched all of these too. Like, I watched the Genie situation, and I watched a lot of TV when I was a kid as well. But it still felt more over the top than necessary. And I know that's probably also an artistic choice that they made to make it even more over the top than they already were, because even Genie wasn't that over the top in that way, and a lot of other old series weren't like that. It just felt very, very artificial for me. But then we hop into the 4th episode, and suddenly we're not in Westview anymore. Like, Wanda and Vision are 2 people that we don't see at the first couple of... Do we see them at all in that episode? I don't remember.
I think not really.
Yeah. But what we do find out is that the actress or the person that knew about Ultron is Monica Rambeau. Mm-hmm. And that's where I was like, oh my god, yes. I'm loving this. And for people who are not well averse with Marvel, I haven't watched all the movies, Monica Rambeau is the daughter of Captain Marvel's best friend. And so we saw her in Captain Marvel, the movie. She was that badass kid who was just the best. I literally have goosebumps talking about her because I love her so much. I know. And she was just like the best kid in the show, and she was just like so cool that when the moment that I knew that this was Monica Rambeau, for me that was all like, okay, I'm in. I'm so in. She was blipped away and came back after these 5 years when she got blipped back basically. Her mother had died. She basically unblipped and found that out and immediately got back to work. And we find out that her mother founded S.W.O.R.D., which is a separate agency to S.H.I.E.L.D. S.W.O.R.D. and S.H.I.E.L.D. also. That was like blowing my mind when I watched this episode. Oh, this is so cool. S.W.O.R.D. and S.H.I.E.L.D. Monica Rambeau. This is amazing. And Paul in chat says he was so happy with her intro and the backstory that they gave her, and it was brilliantly done, and he was sad that she didn't get to say goodbye to her mom. Yeah, that was super sad. Like, that hit me very, very much as well. And we then see her going back to work short after. She unblipped, basically, and the new leader, she used to lead S.W.O.R.D., apparently. The new doctor, who's Tyler Hayward. Yeah, acting director is Tyler Hayward. He took over basically from her, and then they all try to figure out what is going on there. And we see a few other people that are also super excited about the fact that we saw them back in that season.
Mm-hmm. Like Jimmy Woo and Darcy Lewis. Jimmy Woo being the FBI agent who kind of shows up in a few other films, like just here and there. And Darcy Lewis, who's in Thor. I was gonna say Iron Man, and I was like, that's not right.
No, she's in Thor.
Yeah, she's in Thor. And like, I love Kat Dennings, so seeing her like in this show was really great, because she, I don't know, I just love her sarcastic vibes all the time, and I'm like,
I know. So also in Two Broke Girls, she's just the most badass bitch ever. And then she was amazing also in Thor as well, and it was kind of sad that she only had this like small roles in it. Mm-hmm. Because she has like super, like, I would watch a movie with only her because I find her so cool. Yeah. And I was so excited to see her there as well, because she was also once again like this smart ass scientist and being super sarcastic and not taking shit from anyone, and it was just amazing.
And I also like, I love Jimmy Woo. I think he's such a cool character. Like, he's like really understated but totally badass. And I read something, I might have been on Twitter, it was probably on Twitter, and it was like that people would love a TV show just following Jimmy Woo as he like goes on these weird ass adventures, like dealing with like random occurrences like all throughout the world, I guess.
Do you know where we have seen him before? Have we seen him before? I would have not recalled him at all.
I thought we'd seen him somewhere. But maybe we didn't. I'm going to look up. Oh, Ant-Man.
He first appeared in the... Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Thank
and,
you, Tom.
And he was also in Always Be My Maybe, which is actually where I knew him from, which IMDb just told me, because I was like, I really recognize him. And it's because I watched a movie with him in it. Yeah, but anyways, he was in Ant-Man. But yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't initially fall for him in the sense of like, oh my god, he's a great character. But like, he grew on me for sure. Like, it wasn't the moment that I saw him that I was like, it wasn't in the first episode where I perceived him as someone who will be on the side of Monica Rambeau and Darcy in the moment. But it turned out that he was just as badass, and also this kind of small snarky sarcasm situation things. Yeah, just
yeah,
my
you can
kind
really
of shit,
tell
so.
What turns me and Monica on sarcasm. Yeah. Please, thank you.
Don't take anyone's shit and be sarcastic and bitch at each other. That's like our kind of shit here.
Yep.
They do find out that they are all in this Monica Rambeau gets taken to this area where people apparently, where they notice some weird things going on. And when I say weird things, is that people stand next to a town sign and don't say that the town doesn't exist, and all various suspicious things have been going on there. And until the point where they actually realize that this is something that is artificially created. And Darcy Lewis, who is the smart ass in the show, finds out that Wanda is basically creating her own reality in a way, through which they can follow through television. So she's basically airing those her life in old school television method in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And while we didn't see in the third episode exactly what happened to Geraldine, just that she kind of left the scene, we do see in episode 4 that Wanda basically kicks her out of her world, and out of that bubble that she's created around that town that people pretend to not know at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then in there's also this quirky neighbor, Agnes, who shows up in like all of the episodes, and she's like the quirky best friend next door who's always there and always ready. Aren't you ready there, hon? And
yeah,
you know, she's always there to help a hand and do whatever needs to be done. I quite liked Agnes. Like, I thought she was a really interesting character as like a side piece.
Mm.
Sorry.
Yeah, I was generally constant, and we start to slowly see that not only is Vision having some moments where he starts to question what the fuck is going on, but also we have this times when, and because you mentioned Agnes, Wanda expected something or tells Vision something, and Agnes is in the situation, and then it doesn't pan out the way she wants to, and Agnes just casually says, so we take it from the top again, because that's what you want, right? You want Vision to do something else instead. And so we kind of notice that people and Vision also kind of start to realize there is something going on, and we get these small glimpses of what might be happening. So we do know, we start to realize that, okay, Wanda created this herself. And we also know pretty quickly, actually, that it was something that she did out of grief over the death of Vision, basically. Mm-hmm. And that's because Monica Rambeau was super invested in all of that immediately, because she was also grieving during that time. And I mean, yeah, just 3 weeks before she found out that her mother has died. So, I mean, it's old.
Yeah, for sure. The scene, one of the first scenes that really connected me to Vision probably more than I ever have is when he was at his office, because Vision took on like a 1960s job, you know, and like he's the funny guy in the office, and I'm like, really? But it's just because
he's not the funny guy in the office, he's the PC in the office. That's what I found so hilarious about it, because he's like, ha, 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 are you a computer or something? And everybody's like, yeah, he is, right, isn't he?
But there was one scene where like Vision's starting to kind of figure out what was going on, and the guy Norm, I think his name was, Vision like puts his hands on the side of his forehead, and like brings Norm's consciousness back into his body, and he's like so like in pain and so hurt that like Wanda's just always in his head, always there. Like controlling, she doesn't let him do anything, and it hurts so much, and like it just really broke my heart, because Vision had to put him back to Wanda's version, and like then Vision's like, what the fuck is going on? I don't know, it was just like a really humanizing scene, I think, despite like the computer touch foreheads kind of thing, but really
humanizing. I found it generally interesting, because Vision is always, like, yes, he was the computer and the artificially created entity with a soul, but you could see the progress of that too in that series, especially, I find. Because yes, he was in love with Wanda, and we saw it in the Avengers, and we saw it in other movies, but not like you could see it here in a way. Because what all we saw was that they both kind of took off, and then we only ever met them again. When we met them, when they brought us something in one of the bigger shows where they obviously only had like a side character and were not the main characters of everything. So it felt like interesting to see that there was this super strong connection between the two of them and how human he became in a way. Mm-hmm. And also like the progress of him actually not being very human and then to this loving, caring kind of AI in a way with the soul though. That was a path that I found super interesting. And we could, like, slowly and steadily, we also noticed that Wanda is controlling all of the people there, but she is not aware what she is causing them, like what pain she is causing them, because they all feel not only pain, but they feel her pain. Like, they feel her pain over the death of Vision and over everything that has been going on because she was also blipped, right? Mm-hmm. I had to look that up as well. So she basically got blipped away, got blipped back, and she saw Vision die twice, basically, and then had to get over the fact that he was now gone, and couldn't take it anymore. And you could also see that wasn't even, and as the series goes on, there are like a few weird episodes where it's like, you always, with every episode, you get a bit more information about what is happening. Like, it's not that every episode in itself is like, this was amazing or something, but every episode gave out a bit more of the entire situation in a way. But at some point, she can't, go ahead.
No, I just thought you were done talking. Carry on.
No, go ahead.
All I was going to say was that, like, Wanda didn't know that she had created this like alternate reality. She was just at the beginning just as like in the dark as everyone else about like what was going on. She just kind of thought that it was her life, and like anytime something weird happened, she was like, what's going on? Like, there was a time.
So
I do think so, yeah, I do. Like, I think like she didn't realize what she had created, because like, or at least that's what it seemed anyways, whether she knew the whole time, I don't know. But like, I remember in one of the first episodes, she heard like the voices on the radio that had been like tuning in from the outside world. Mm-hmm. And she like kind of thought she was going crazy. She was like, what is this noise? What's going on? And like, it kind of almost like took her to a place of understanding. But then she like willfully chose to go back to the ignorance of the alternative world that she's created?
I perceive that differently. I think they showed, because what we saw in the first three episodes was basically what she let everybody see, because that's what she aired out on television in a way, right? I do think she was aware of what she created. Like, I think she, because, like, fully out of her grief, like, 100% out of her grief and of her desperation, which was not initially the case, that she didn't, like, unblip and then decided, I am suffering so much, I'm going to build this world now. But because of the way, the path she took afterwards and what she experienced then, the pain got so intense that she only found herself being able to create this world. And I do think the creation of this world was intentional, and it's a lot of shoving emotions away in that sense, if you know what I mean. Like, she didn't wanna, she was very aware that there were outside people trying to ring in and everything, but she was in that place of, I don't want to deal with the outside world. I wanna stay in my happy place where I am with Vision, with the two kids that I got that suddenly turn from, that are like 10 years old within 2 days. And I am with my family now, and this is where my happy place is, and everything else is pain. So I choose to stay in the happy place instead of going to the pain. And I think that's when they try to phone in. Those are the moments where she tries to get rid of that again by pushing them away. And that's also the reason why she flops away Geraldine, which is Monica Rambeau in the end, and pretends like nothing ever happened, because also everybody else is playing part in this, and Vision also can't see it in a way. So I think it was super intentional the way she created it, out of pain for sure, and also that the avoiding reality was an intentional step from her to deal with her pain.
I would agree that it was avoiding reality, but I, like, for from the way that I understood it was that, like, she didn't make the town consciously. Like, it was built out of pain, and we do see it in a later episode, like, when she visits the property that her and Vision were going to, like, build their dream house on, and, like, she just crumples, and, like, all her magic spills out of her, basically. And, like, I feel like she was really out of control at that moment. Like, she was, or I should say, she was very controlled by her grief. And I think, like, you know, we all know what that's like, you know, to be in so much pain that you can't control your emotions. And I think, like, I don't think that she was consciously aware of what she had created until she started to see the cracks in the reality, like with the helicopter being there, and like a little toy helicopter landed in her bush, and the voices on the radio, and the neighbors cutting the bush or something. I don't think she was consciously aware until things started to not make sense. But I mean, we could argue that point all day.
Yeah.
That's the magic of shows like that, you know.
That too. And I think also every experience, every person's experience is different as well. Like, I was very aware of my surroundings at the time during my biggest moments of grief, basically. I was like super out of my body in that moment where I was like watching myself and being like, my brain was on super rational mode in that while everything was happening, basically. So for me, it would have been like, that would have been that super rational part in my head that knows what is going on, despite the pain being like almost unbearable. So, but yes, as Porsche also says, that each episode it was dealing with her grief, and he feels like her emotions when the supernova, and she didn't, because she kind of supernovaed that entire place there. And also out of that pain, Vision came to life in that bubble as well, which fascinatingly seemed to have been part of, and immediately when I saw it, and that was my first question after that one episode, because when she creates that world, everything is this red, because Wanda is always with her red magic and everything, and everything is in her red. But suddenly when Vision pours out of her, he is this yellow magic. And we see, because we see it in Wanda's backstory as well, like how her life in Sokovia was and how she even got to be Scarlet Witch, which she's not aware of that she is at the moment, but for us, she was always Scarlet Witch. How she gets to have her powers and all of that. We also see that she touches the Tesseract, which is one of the Infinity Stones, and it's the Blue Stone. And when she touches it, it becomes yellow, right? And that was like, what, for me, I was thinking, what is going on here? Why is this yellow? Because yellow is the Soul Stone, and the Soul Stone is the part that is part of Vision. And when she created that world out of her, out of that, all of her red magic that she is having, this yellow magic came out that then formed Vision in her bubble, right? So that for me was in the moment super confusing, because I wasn't aware, does she have parts of the Soul Stone within her as well, because of the powers that she got from the Tesseract that she touched? Is Vision now created out of, is it a Soul Stone that bits or rests of the Soul Stone that rest within her? Are they really creating Vision now? I think that was a lot to think about when it was happening, and which she then in the end kind of explained in some ways. But I would still have questions now that I think about it more, because, and then the Vision basically came out of her with that Soul Stone energy in a way, and was created within that bubble.
Mm-hmm. But then, just to throw a spanner totally in the works of this story about grief, let's go back to Agnes. So Agnes apparently is also a witch who chose to be in Wanda's bubble, for lack of a better word. And Agnes is not a very good witch, who kills other witches for their magic. and like drains it. And she has been causing a lot of havoc that we've been seeing throughout the episodes, is like those funny mishaps that happen in 60s, 70s, 80s sitcoms. But no, it's Agnes all along.
Mm-hmm. That was a good, that was a fun storyline. Agnes kidnaps both of Wanda's kids, like the twins, Tommy and Billy, which I did a bit Googling on when they came to be. And apparently both Tommy and Billy are part of the young Marvel series, and they're like super, I think one of them, or at least they're like starting to represent the newer face of Marvel comics with young Avengers and young superheroes, and also pro LGBTQ rights. So people are assuming or kind of hinting that potentially there is a door for queer representation in the Marvel universe, which I personally super exciting. But there is nothing, we didn't see any of that yet, because there are still like two boys and we don't really know much about them still. No. Anyway, like both have powers.
They both grew up really fast.
Super fast, like 10 within 2 days or something. But they stayed like that for a bit, so mm-hmm. We at least have had that. And yeah, Agnes kidnaps both of them.
Mm-hmm. Now, I was like really confused for probably most of the rest of the season, since it turned out that it was Agnes all along. I was like, is she like, did she actually like make her way in here and somehow avoid like Wanda's mind control? Or is she, did Wanda create her as an alternative villain in the like her own universe? And so that was like my biggest question. I was like, did she do this so that she could like have a scapegoat? Like, it's not me. There's an evil witch here. Not, I'm a good witch. She's an evil witch. Or was she there all along? And like, still at the end, I'm still not 100% sure that it's not, that it wasn't the case, because it still seems really random. Who's to say for sure?
That is true. And yeah, I did, it didn't occur to me at all, but yeah, it could very well be for sure. But like all the other people, they are not, everybody besides Vision is an actual person. Like they are not created by her, they're controlled by her. And you could see the further out all the people are in the bubble, the less controlling she was able to do. Not only because there are like a good, 30, 40, 50 people in that bubble. So she might be strong, but she also, only the ones closest to the people that she or Vision were interacting with were the ones that she actually actively controlled, I think, in a way. And the others were just there, like kept warm in a way. So that whenever they would come past any one of them, that they would then be basically reheated and used for whatever controlling that needs to be done in that moment. So I think because of all the things she had to do, that maybe she wasn't aware that she wasn't also controlling Agnes.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was also not aware that she wasn't controlling Geraldine, so Monica Rambeau in the show. So,
well, at first she was controlling Geraldine. Like,
it was only... she really though?
Well, do you think, I mean, so? I think so, because didn't Geraldine say, like, or Monica, didn't she say something along the lines of, like, I could feel her voice in me all the time? Like, didn't she acknowledge that, like, Wanda was there in her head?
Yeah, I mean, yes, but I'm not, because apparently the field also does things to you. Then that's what we didn't quite, so because Geraldine, so Monica Rambeau, like, entered the bubble three times, like twice at least, like she walked in because she touched it, she got sucked in, then she got pushed up by Wanda, and Darcy in that moment, then like they did all the med tests and everything, and they found out that there was some change in her DNA basically, and they told her not to go back in. And I think she did once,
Rambo, not to go back in.
Exactly. And so it was also adjusting her DNA in a way. So I'm thinking that maybe she wasn't controlled by her, because it didn't seem like she was putting up a fight, but she could, because she was entering it as an from the outside with being very aware and very intentional of going into it, like kind of that she, because she was in that world, in that world, she felt the pain because she basically, her DNA touched the grief as well. Mm-hmm. And because she is experiencing it herself in that very moment. So I think they all had insights into Wanda's mind in a way, but I don't think all of them were, and because they were deliberate about still being there and they could be zapped out of it as well. So I think I do think that Monica was constantly aware of what she was doing and was very intentional because it was work and was kind of soon figuring out.
I think like definitely for the second and third times that Monica went in, but the first time like she was just kind of sucked in there, like she was investigating with Jimmy Woo, wasn't mm-hmm. she? And then like she just yeah. kind of whoop, in she went. Like I don't yeah. think she had all of her like Monica Rambeau senses there. I do think that she was maybe not 100% Geraldine, but she was like very much that role that she was tasked to play.
But what would have prompted her to exit that role?
Maybe memories started coming back for her too.
Maybe. Porsche is asking in chat, speaking of altered DNA, do we think that the other people inside the bubble had the DNA altered and like mutants perhaps? Maybe. Because also question. one big thing that was like that was people were freaking out about was that in one of the episodes her brother came back, but in the Marvel universe her brother had obviously already died, right? But in the X-Men universe her brother is still alive, and the person who was playing her brother was the person who is playing it in the X-Men universe. So people were thinking that that's the way that those two universes merge together. So it might even make very good sense that there is like some mutant storyline going to happen because of how their DNA has been altered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if there's one thing Marvel does incredibly well, it's like weave together things that you could never even think are possibly connected. Yeah. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, that's how they're doing that. Like, oh, okay. Because obviously like Marvel comics are all connected in some way, but Marvel Cinematic Universe is a little bit different right now. But yeah, so like I don't know. I knew that Pietro was played by Evan Peters. Because I actually got spoiled on Twitter the morning of, because I was like, oh, why is Evan Peters trending? Click. Spoiler. I was like, oh, fuck off. That didn't even say anything about WandaVision. It said Evan Peters. And I was like, lesson learned.
yeah. Don't touch Twitter on the day after the show.
Mm-mm. No. But, yeah, I knew he was an X-Men, but I didn't actually know that he played Pietro in X-Men. I thought that he just was also an X-Men, and I was like, oh, that's weird that they've cast him in both things. That was it.
That's what you thought?
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, cool. He's an X-Men. He's here. Yeah, cool.
Yeah, I do think that is probably some kind of, you need to have more knowledge about comics as well to kind of make the connection. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't super into not into the connection of both of the universes. And we also kind of know there could be alternate timeline situations. So we touched on that in Endgame and in Infinity War. So we know that is a possibility. Also that people can travel within those timelines, basically, in a way. Also, we know from the beginning that WandaVision is going to be kind of connected to Doctor Strange, so we know also that there might be some timeline hopping happening. So I think that's also where this entire hype of it came about, because we then saw someone who was also an X-Men basically jump into the Marvel universe at the sense, even though it kind of Marvel, but you know, yeah.
Okay, so for me, I think the best episode in the entire season was the second to last one.
Yep.
It was the highlight, and it was the most beautiful and painful to watch. And yeah, I think a lot of tears were shed over that one.
Yeah.
We see like this is where we see Wanda's backstory. We go, like, Agnes takes her back through all the pain and all the grief that she's had throughout her life, like losing her parents and the education. We'll use that word. It's not the right word. In Sokovia, of like training to be what, like an assassin or something.
Or I don't even know what that was supposed to be.
Child, they were kind of using some kind.
Kids, like people, like guinea pigs to figure out whether or not they can handle something. And everybody else, I think, died already. And she was the only one who had like could get like parts of the control of this Tesseract situation, which is how she kind of got her powers then.
But I think she kind of had some powers before, because like there was a bombing in Sokovia. Sokovia? Is that right? Sokovia? Or did I just Sokovia? Bring in Hallmark movies?
No, I think that's right.
Okay. As Taunt I was says, saying it, I was like, is this right? Is this right?
I think it's right. Taunt is saying he believes that they were trained by Hydra to do Hydra things.
Yeah, Hydra things. Makes sense.
Yeah.
And then, like, seeing her going into S.H.I.E.L.D. to, like, try to retrieve Vision's body and, like, but he's been torn apart, basically. They were decommissioning him because all that adamantium, you know, it's expensive. It costs a lot of money. You know, she can't just walk out of there with, you know, her dead husband in pieces. And then we see her going to West Haven. West Haven?
Westview.
Thank you. My brain is just like, words are going to be very difficult. Westview and, like, her and Vision had this... these building plans to build their dream house, and she just explodes in grief because like, yeah, it Wanda didn't have a great life. Like she had grief, she had pain, she had trauma, like her entire life up until she was with Vision, really.
Yeah. And then they take him away from her as well. And then there was this horrible one scene, and I hate Marvel for it, but I also love them at the same time because it was just so good. Which is a scene where they actually, you see them before they really have this relationship, and Wanda is stuck in that Avengers headquarter thing. I think they've locked her up there. I don't think she was there intentionally at the time, but they've locked her up there, and Vision is just connecting with her. And does she tell him about her life?
Maybe.
Not
that part wasn't super clear.
That wasn't very clear.
But we can assume that she did, probably.
Yeah. Also that maybe he knows, because Vision just knows things. And then he says, like, then she's, like, so full of loss and full of grief because she lost her brother. She lost already everything before. And now she's locked up here and she has nothing to lose in a way anymore. And there is no love left for her. And then Vision basically tells her, what if grief, if not love, persevering? And that was just a stab into the heart on a Saturday morning. And so unexpected. This entire season is in reality dealing with grief. And for that, you have to give them a really, like, heads up, like, raising the invisible hat to how they did it. Because in the end, that was a really, really relatable journey. Yeah. And I'm not even sure, like, everybody could see it in that way and everybody could appreciate it to that degree. But I think for people who have been through a lot of grief, it was just so spot on. And it was super well done as well. And yes, I agree with you totally that the second to...
Penultimate.
That one.
It has a word. And I only know it because a former boss used to love it, and I had to look it up. Because I was like, what the fuck does he mean? Penultimate?
Yeah, that one. Mm-hmm. So episode 8, that was the one that was full of emotions and just so.
And then, like Posh is pointing out in chat as well, like it really does come full circle because we see her life in Sokovia, like back when it was normal, before like it was all torn apart, and like her dad would come home with like bootlegged TV shows, and they were all like the old American comedies, like Bewitched and I Dream a Genie and the Brady Bunch and Modern Family Dick Van Dyke, all these shows, and they would watch them as a family. So it was really a comfort for Wanda to, like, a comfort and also a regression, I think, to, like, go back to where she felt the happiest in her life. Like, just, I don't know, that episode broke me a little bit.
Yeah, it was a bit, that was a good one. It was really a good one. Probably the best of all of them, because the last one I wasn't, like, super convinced about anymore. And I think it's also the reason because the last episode was this fighty one. In the eighth one, during this entire series, we kind of noticed that the sword director that's in place now is kind of a dick, and all he cares about is money and power. So all he really cares about is getting Vision back, because he's like the super machine that he just wants to have. And so that's all he gives a shit about. He thinks Wanda is a threat, and he tries to also shoot her, and he, all he cares about is Vision, for his vibranium and all that entails. So, and at the end of the eighth episode, we see that he creates this white version of Vision. That is a lot of V vowels in that one. That sounded
difficult for you, yeah. But it's like out of the original parts of Vision, like, because Wanda's Vision came out of her grief and the part of the soul stone that lives within her. So, like, the Vision that Hayward made is more the physical representation of Vision, I guess.
Like, and we see him as a white version. Never mind. Too complicated. And then we have this showdown episode, that's the ninth episode, where we know that we have Agnes, who is called Agatha, basically, isn't she? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Vision versus White Vision. And that just all, it's just a big fat fighty episode. And we find out that Agnes, because she's the witch who takes power away from everyone, came to Westview because of the power that Wanda has, and was like attracted by this because she wants to have her power. And she's kind of trying to ask her how she's doing it, because she wants to do it. So the two of them fight, and Soulstone Vision and White Vision, they have their own kind of fight going on. And the kids are kind of in between all of that, because they also have like this superpower situation. So it's a bit of a Mr. Incredible situation where the entire superhero family is fighting for each other and shit. But also because it's a series, it's not very long, right? So you have these Marvel movies that are like full of action and everything, and then you have this 25 to 30 minutes episode where they have to kind of wrap it up now in one episode, because they haven't done it before, really. So it was a lot of fighting and
to me, the last episode, like, it had to be done probably the way that it was done, but the fighting with, like, the battle, the action scenes, it was just, it felt out of place after like the eight, you know, emotional episodes, varying degrees of emotional episodes that we've had before. And then this was just kind of like, oh, this is a bit of a letdown. And then when she actually, like, has to, you know, bring down her bubble, and say goodbye to her family and, like, Vision, and, like, let them all disintegrate into nothingness because they were just part of her imagination, like, it almost felt not emotional enough. Like, it didn't feel like it had the emotion that the scene should, like, that they deserved, because the action was so overpowering.
I do feel they did a somewhat decent job with, albeit in a very short amount of time, because we didn't have a lot of time there, to get Wanda to a point where she sees that what she's doing is causing everyone pain, that she makes the conscious decision to stop, even though she hurts way more, probably, and she hurts a lot already, and everything for her is, like, super painful. She takes her pain away from everybody else and basically lets go of her family as a conscious decision. And I do feel that was also super powerful. And what, for me, probably made her even a tad stronger, because she let go of them. Because we saw that in other superhero movies. We saw it with Wonder Woman, as shit as the movie might be. But they had this entire movie based on the fact that that Diana can't let go of the people she loves, right? So in that moment, like, Wanda deliberately let go of them, which I think was a super powerful move and is also obviously a next step of grief in a way, accept the circumstances and move on with the pain, you know, somehow. But there are so many separate parts too that I'm like, they kind of couldn't fit that in anymore, because you have that fight between the two visions, and the Wanda's vision basically then tells White Vision that actually they are the same, and mm-hmm. gives the White Vision his memory, because White Vision's task was to kill Vision. So, and what we only see then is that Wanda's vision can share his memories. And all that White Vision does is take off and is gone. Like, he just like, oh, okay, then I'm Vision, and he left. So so he was just gone. And Taunt said in chat as well, he just takes off, and Wanda's vision is not telling her about him. Like, yeah, why? What is that about?
Yeah. And then the scene, like the fight scenes end with Wanda and Agatha, and like Agatha's got the Darkhold, like the book of, like, the evil witchcraft book, and like,
oh, that is the Darkhold.
That's the Darkhold that was in
that we Agents had in S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, with I can't remember the character's name, just like right out of my head as usual. Flaming Skull guy,
Hail
Ghost Rider. Thanks, Tom. I knew. Thank you, Ghost clutch. Rider. Thank you, Ghost Rider. Ghost Rider. And so, like, that was really interesting that, like, Scarlet Witch is connected there to the Darkhold, which is also connected to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So that's, like, another wormhole between, you know,
but they Marvel stopped stuff. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I know. R.I.P. Best show ever.
Super sad.
And then, like, the very, very last scene with, like, Wanda at a cabin was probably like, oh, that was an amazing scene, like, for all that it was. Like, there's one version of her sitting out the front in this peaceful, serene area, and then you go into the cabin and there's like Scarlet Witch version of her devouring the Darkhold.
Yeah.
And like, that was just, oh, that, I don't know, that blew my mind.
Darkhold. I didn't even get it. Oh, I did, because I did see a tweet of somebody basically connecting what is it? I just had it before. Doctor Strange with WandaVision, because they said that one book in one of the scenes in Stranger Things in Doctor Strange is missing, and that's the book that Agatha is using. And if that's also the Darkhold that is in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., that's even more interesting.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. One thing I was a little disappointed about was I had heard a rumor months ago that Doctor Strange was going to be here to help, like, Wanda find her way out of this. And, like, it didn't happen. And that definitely, I was like, oh, that would have been really cool. Like, Doctor Strange helping Wanda out here. But, yeah, it didn't happen.
Yeah. But I think doesn't mean that he's not going to come in the next seasons or so, because in reality we have like what, maybe 3 hours of content, if at all.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, definitely. No, there's so much more content there, like there's more story to tell.
Yeah,
I just had heard this rumor that we were gonna see Doctor Strange in this, and then we didn't, and I was like, well, fuck you then. Where? Okay.
Where is Doctor Strange? Why is he not there?
Yeah,
I would have liked Cumberbatch to show up.
Yeah. But yeah, what are your overall, like, one-sentence review?
It was probably not my favorite series of all times. I'm going to keep watching it. It had really strong parts. It's not a one-sentence. Really strong parts in the middle, a bit meh at the end. Shit beginning, strong in the middle, meh at the end. But I will keep watching.
Mm-hmm.
What is yours?
I mean, copy-paste. Basically what you said, like, weak episode, real weak episode 3, but weaker in the beginning, really strong in the middle, not my favorite that I've ever watched, but compelling enough that I wanted to keep going back and back and back. Like, it was no S.H.I.E.L.D., but I mean, it definitely held my attention, especially yeah. once we get out of baby territory, and then like peaked at episode 8 for sure.
Did peak at episode 8 100%. I want more Monica Rambeau content, and we'll probably get it because we got a hint there too. We see at the end, we see Monica Rambeau get information from a Skrull that a friend of her mother's wants to meet her, oh, yeah. which would mean that this is Captain Marvel or somebody else that it might be.
Hopefully Captain Marvel too, because that's been being like rumored for a little bit.
It's been rumored? Oh, you mean Captain Marvel 2? Mm-hmm. Oh, you mean that's a hint to Captain Marvel 2?
I think so, yeah. Like a connection.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of sad. I thought she was good. I'm excited, but I'm also... How long do we have to wait for the new season? Do you know?
No, I don't know.
Unsatisfying. Yeah. Because what Captain Marvel is rumored for in 2022 anyway? Mm-hmm. Is it 2022?
I don't know. Let's find out.
So maybe it comes before it, or is this a series where we have to Captain Marvel 2 is 2022? Mm-hmm. That's almost soon.
I know.
I'm excited.
If anybody was not here at the beginning of the episode, I'm a lot more positive about the first few episodes than Monica is. I really Definitely. Enjoyed 1 and 2. I loathed episode 3 because I thought it was disgusting. And yeah, so that was my real issues. Like, the first two I enjoyed. The third one with the baby stuff was like, no thanks. It just was too long and graphic and drawn out.
I don't even know if I found it. It was just a pathetic piece of episode with no consideration of anything that has to do with pregnancies whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Because not only was it... Yeah, because it was not only super ridiculous, but also kind of in this humorous way of putting these pregnancies and then having like this pregnancy and then having like two. It was just making such a ridicule of this mm-hmm. entire thing, where I think that some people would be really triggered by. And I could see myself be secondhand triggered for people because I'm like, this is so unnecessary. So you could have just done that totally differently or whatever, but that's not great cinema there somehow.
Yeah. Anyways, but yeah. I'm excited for, you know, season 2.
Maybe I will binge them all because it's probably just what, 2 hours or whatever of real content without all the credits.
True.
And what I also got really annoyed by is that then suddenly at the end, after this... 6 episodes or whatever of such long credits with nothing after it, you suddenly have like content after it in Marvel manner, and I'm like, mm-hmm. are you fucking kidding me? I would probably have missed this if I'm not lying there and I'm too lazy to skip away. Then that's the reason why I even made it to the end, not because I want to read all of the credits and because I have like this attention or attachment to that I want to see or respect the creators of the series. I'm sorry, I should have, but I don't. But it was just literally because I was there, my phone was in my hand, and I'm like, oh, okay, that's the credits now, and I started to scroll a bit, and then I was like, oh no, that's happening now, and mm-hmm. that was just annoying.
Oh yeah, like I definitely think that Tom and I had turned it off, and then he saw on Twitter that there was an extra scene, and he was like, we need to turn it back on, there was an extra scene. And I was like, oh shit.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but yeah, so that's what I have to say about WandaVision.
Yeah, that's also my 2 cents about it. Curious how this is going in general. Very curious, like I love the connections of everything Marvel and the way they do it, so I'm really curious how this all pans out in the bigger picture. And because mm-hmm. this is the first time I'm actively involved when it comes out in a way, so because when I watched all the other MCU movies, I wasn't super, like I watched them all, but I wasn't like super connected to them. Mm-hmm. But now I want to know, and I want to know the connections. And even I told the weirdo the other day that this and this and this is connected. And he was like, you're such a freak. And I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Nerd. This is amazing. I know all of this. But yeah.
Yeah. So what did you think? We would love if you wanted to tell us what you thought about WandaVision. You can let us know on Twitter or Instagram. You can email us, hiagiecaring.com.
Or you can join our Discord at geekcaring.com/Discord.
Yes.
And we're all excitedly waiting for Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which is coming out soon. So that's like at least the next Marvel step, because it does come out. I already got notification in my Disney Plus about it. So curious.
I did too.
Via email. So excited about that.
But I was getting notifications there. I was like, well, look, I see it.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what we have for you this week. We'll see you next week for another amazing episode of Geekaring.
Bye.
If you like this episode of Geekaring, why not leave us an iTunes review? You can also find us on social at Geekaring and over on geekaring.com.